Jotsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, where we come and bring you the, We always like to sum up the day and let you know what's going on in the news and my take on it, which of course is the right take. I always try to get into stuff here that no one else is talking about. And if you follow the program, you know that that's definitely the case. Well, we always are able to leave here with some good wisdom. Now, here's one thing I have to say. Some news broke, you know, with all the bombings that happened in New York, there hasn't been as much attention to the stabbing in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And what I'm understanding is that Dahir Adan, who's the 22-year-old Somali immigrant, apparently he walked into the mall. He's wearing a security guard uniform, and he's got a small knife, and he proceeds to walk in and he starts stabbing people. He's asking each one individually, "Are you Muslim?" And when they said no or didn't respond, he would proceed to attack them. Fortunately, no one was killed in this attack except for Adan, who was intercepted by a off-duty police officer who ended the attack by shooting him dead. Now, what just came out in the news, Mr. Adan, the attacker, the supposedly so-called lone wolf terrorist, was on his way to the Apple Store. That's right. He was on his way. He told friends that he was on his way to the mall to go buy himself a new iPhone. Well, maybe at the root of all of this was he got there and he realized it didn't have an earphone jack. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it could be very frustrating. Has anybody here taken the plunge yet? I haven't. I still have my 6S. And I don't know that I can live without the jack. I always use my headphones. I don't like the idea of carrying an adapter. I guess you'll have to put the adapter and attach it to your headphones and carry it with you. But what if you lose the adapter? And then you're done. And I always carry around my headphones because I don't like talking on my phone. I like to keep it away from me and minimize some of that radiation I'm soaking up everywhere else. Well, at any rate, lots happening in the world, and it's good to be back here in the chair on Monday evening. And, so this Adan guy, he goes to the mall, he starts asking people if they're Muslim, he attacks them when they say that they're not or when they don't answer. And the media and the political establishment is falling all over themselves trying to explain how it's not terrorism. Or how it's not Islamic terrorism. And I think it's always interesting when we're trying to examine the events of the day and how you know, politics here, you know, the race is continuing and you've got, you know, two candidates, you know, locked horns and the race is certainly tight. And then you have an event and it happens and you think, here is the opportunity for, you know, maybe one candidate, maybe the one that's been losing, the one that's been a little wobbly. You know who I mean, right? Wobbles Clinton. You think that Wobbles would take this opportunity to sort of redefine and sharpen herself, right? To be perhaps a little more hawkish. Because the accusation has been from the Trump camp that she can't get herself to say Islamic terror. And of course, the accusation is that if you can't say it, if you can't say the word, then how can you identify the problem? And I believe this. I think this is a problem, but I think it goes deeper than just not identifying the problem. And so we're going to talk about that today. So what happened? We've got Dahir Adan. I just want to kind of get the story straight. So you've got Dahir Adan. He's the 22-year-old Somali immigrant that goes to the mall in St. Cloud. And then you've got Ahmad Khan Rahami. And he is 28. And he works in a chicken shack. Yeah, it's called First American Fried Chicken. And apparently this place, there's a lot of talk about all these lawsuits, these discrimination lawsuits, because this guy filed basically a lawsuit against everything that walked and claimed all sorts of, discrimination based on his religion. He was really, really high on this and his ethnic background. But, it seems that, and this is something, again, a lot of people aren't talking about. One of the things that they filed a lawsuit over was that the chicken place was open 24/7. And they're, by code, aren't allowed to do it. And so, of course, the authorities come in and say, well, listen, hey, you're a takeout restaurant. You can't be open 24/7. And attempt to shut them down. And they file a lawsuit saying they're being persecuted because of their religion. So this guy's an Afghan immigrant. He's just a normal kid. I guess he came to this country as a young boy, a refugee. And then a couple years ago, he goes on what he calls, what his friends recall him saying, is a life-changing trip to Afghanistan. And mark my words, you will hear this tomorrow. You haven't heard it yet today, but you will hear it tomorrow, that this life-changing trip to Afghanistan, one of two things happened. He either trained to be a terrorist, or he made a lot of friends that have helped him, and this isn't a really a lone wolf attack. And let me tell you why I'm saying this. Because as you know, this guy wasn't a stabber, right? This guy's, methodology were these pressure cooker bombs. And I'm no explosives expert, but I understand that these things are actually fairly sophisticated. It's the material that's in them. It's the explosives that are actually put in them. And how many did he place? Placed, I think, 8 of them, something like that. Not all of them went off. But they say there's two kinds of bomb makers. There's the guy that doesn't have any fingers, and then there's the guy that knows what he's doing. So I'm looking at pictures of this guy. He's got all his fingers. So it tells me he's either got help from the outside. There's somebody helping him. Somebody out there. So this isn't the lone wolf attack that everybody's talking about. But it also could be that he went to Afghanistan on a life-changing experience and learned how to make bombs. But here's the ultimate thing, right? The thing that nobody wants to... Well, somebody does. Trump wants to address it. But what people aren't... They're just... The political establishment is just in... It having in fits trying to talk about this as anything other than radical Islamic terror. And I think I'm hearing it framed as, well, it's just an associated factor, but not the cause of it. And so I'm joking. It's almost this like hear no jihad, see no jihad, right? It's this willful, completely willful, ignoring of the cause of this problem. And my theory, and I've talked about this before on the show, and I it's really important that we understand why this is happening. I'm going to tell you exactly why this is happening. Why the political left, why the media, why Obama, why Hillary don't want to use this kind of language. Are you ready? They don't believe it, truthfully, because... And there's a because. I know this. It flies in the face of the left-wing liberal multiculturalist, maxim or worldview, which is all of our cultures can all peacefully coexist. No problem. No issue. It's all kumbaya. Everything's lovely. And you know what? The more different, the better. You know, a lot of liberals, and you realize this is the root of problems with multiculturalism, is that, people are bold-faced about this, right? So the more cultures, the more immigrants that come in, the more different types of people that come in, they bring in, it's become a melting pot or a group, and it's better. You don't want you know, again, and this is liberals, a lot of times you'll hear this. They don't want a lot of people that are exactly the same. They don't want homogenous. They want diverse. They want diversity. So here's what we're talking about. We're getting into this root cause of what happened in the news here with these terror attacks over the weekend. Here's the thing. What happens to multiculturalism as an ideology when you have one of these immigrant groups that is intolerant of other minority groups? And really, I shouldn't say immigrant. I should just say minority groups. I should say, you know, if you have a multicultural society, you've got all these different types of people around. And what happens when one of those groups is intolerant or has an ideology of intolerance? And really, that's a problem. It's a problem because now you're in the liberal fantasist world, not all these groups can coexist, right? They can't coexist peacefully. And herein lies the problem. And the problem is that there are lots and lots of Muslims that have embraced Western living and Western civilization and have integrated and really practice their religion just as a religion, and that's it. But there are a significant number of Muslims that practice Islamic supremacy. And what do I mean by that? It becomes a political doctrine. And the doctrine is one where you set up outposts, you go to a host country, you put up the minaret, you've got your stakehold now. It's a part of a territorial expansion. And the most important thing, this is how it's different from Judaism and how it's different from Christianity and other religions, is that it believes that the Islamic law, the Sharia law, and there are a lot of Muslims that believe this, the Sharia law is the supreme, should be the supreme law of the land and above the Constitution or above any laws of any host country. So think about it this way. You know, if you're a Jew, do you believe that the Old Testament is above the Constitution? I mean, not really. You don't. I mean, that's not, you know, do you think as a, and the, I mean, how many times have we heard the ACLU coming in and shutting down, you know, some building that has the Ten Commandments up on the wall? You can't do it. We have this separation of church and state because we believe we're a secular society that believes that you've got the rule of the law, the land of the law. And there, the rest of it, everything under that comes, you know, fall. And you practice religion as something personal and private. And most importantly, if your religion has some rule, has some law, has something that it expects you to follow, it's just for you to follow. It's not for everyone to follow. Right. So in other words, there's the Mosaic law. If you're a Jew, you don't think that your assumption when you walk into, you know, you walk into a building somewhere, you don't assume that Mosaic law applies to everybody there, Jew or not Jew. Right. And this is the problem. And so and part of this ideology is inflicting pain on non-believers, is killing Westerners, is killing people who don't believe. And it is what's causing this problem. It is what's causing these attacks. It is the motivation behind these attacks. Now, I'm not saying Islam is, I mean, this is not a wholesale condemnation of Islam. It's just understanding what is motivating these terrorists, why they're radical, what drives them. And isn't it the first rule of any type of engagement, of any type of problem solving, that you figure out what is causing the problem in the first place? So it just blows it blows my mind that we have so many people, and we're going to play the clips here in a little bit of Hillary, for example, because she's the one who wants to be commander in chief, who just don't get it, or they don't want to get it. They're calling it, she's saying some of the right stuff, but she actually believes that it's Trump's rhetoric that is radicalizing these jihadists. I mean, think about that. And so this is we're in a predicament. And And yeah, and so and Trump, of course, is heading at it straight on, which is pretty typical. So where are we with this? It's not a comfortable thing to talk about because as Americans, we're taught to be tolerant of religion. This was a country that harbored, we as a nation were founded by people who were persecuted for their faith, came here and practiced their faith privately and in safety and under the protections of a tolerant constitution. And that is what our country has to keep. But we do not keep our tolerance. We do not keep the safety of a tolerant society if we don't recognize that there are those that want to take that away from us. And believe me, it has everything to do with the core ideology behind it. So, as per usual, I tell it to you straight. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back after this.
Now, who? This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, and if you're just tuning in, we're just before the break. We're talking about the terror attacks in New York and Minnesota, and of course, the context for everything is Islam and its influence on the folks that committed these atrocities. Now, I try to talk about things, you know, I listen to the news and I'm very aware of what's going on and I try to bring everything to you when I come here and get behind the microphone. And so, you know, I really haven't heard anyone break this down. And this is something that we ought to always explore. I think people are afraid to break it down. This is my problem, my core problem with political correctness, always has been. The minute that I know something to be true, and a little voice inside of me says, Sam, do you really want to say it? I always go, why? What is it that is making me not want to say it? And if the answer is, well, it's, you know, it's people are going to think, you know, you're a rube and they're going to mock you, or better yet, they're going to call you a racist or, accuse you of a whole deplorables basket full of phobias, you know, then that's not a good reason not to say something and not to explain it and not to explore it. Now, you can disagree with me on the substance of it. But the problem is when Hillary Clinton shuts down, and not just Hillary, but other people, when they shut down any discussion of the role of Islam in terrorism by accusing, well, the initiator of such a discussion of being an Islamophobe, then that is not a substantive discussion of the issue on its merits. And I always think that's really demagoguery and imposing your trying to get to the point of something or trying to make your point by silencing the other side, which is never a good idea. And it's not how a healthy, thriving democracy ought to function. And so, you know, right before the break, I said, you know, the difference between Islam, Islamic Sharia law, and say, and I gave the example of Mosaic law, a Jewish Mosaic law, and a best example I can think of is take the Jewish Sabbath. Now, you know that if maybe you've got a friend or you yourself, you've practiced the Jewish Sabbath. I'm not a Jew, so I might butcher this, but basically, my understanding is for the entire portion of the Jewish Sabbath, if you're conservative or Orthodox, you don't turn on any lights. You know, you don't, you, In fact, maybe you don't operate a car. Or you know, there's some very specific rules on what you can and can't do. Those rules only apply to you. Now, for example, if you live in a Jewish country like Israel, guess what? I'm unaffiliated. I'm like a free agent. Okay, so me, I go to Israel. Nobody tells me I can't turn on my TV at, you know, at sundown on Friday. There's no state law that says you can't drive a car on Saturday morning. There isn't. But do you know that if you're in Saudi Arabia, you're a Western woman, you got to put on the full tent. You got to put it on. Now you tell me, which one of those two is a theocracy? Now I get it. You're going to say, well, it's a sovereign country. It's a sovereign country. But you know what happened in France? This was maybe 4 weeks ago, and we talked about it here, about the people that were sunbathing and this was in Nice, and they're sunbathing, and they're just Western people, regular ladies out there in normal Western bathing suits. Probably, I mean, these were some French babes that were on the beach, probably in bikinis. And a Muslim guy comes along and starts attacking them. Starts beating them or maybe even stabbing them because they were dressed immodestly. And again, this is the ideology where the rules don't just apply to, right? They don't just apply to the believer, but the Sharia law applies to everybody. And we have to be very careful on bringing people to this country that have this idea. And so when we come back, I want to play some clips. I want to play some clips of Hillary and Trump. And with this all in mind, I want you to ask yourself, which leader is going to keep this straight? Okay? Because this is what I'm asking myself. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you live from an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. You know, I left the bubble today. I did. I was up in L.A. In fact, I drove by the KBC studios. I was on La Cienega. And I forget the cross streets, but at any rate, I hit so many potholes in one area. I thought I was going to run into one of these guys here, Ahmad Khan Rahami or somebody, because I felt like I was in Afghanistan. It was unbelievable. Now, I know that you guys have some great places up in LA, some great restaurants and shishi spots, but let me tell you what we have in Orange County. We have smooth roads. Also, guys, gals, how do you do this traffic thing? Oh my gosh. It's murder. It's the middle of the day and I'm driving and I'm telling you, bumper to bumper, entire way on La Cienega. And by the way, there's some great driving too. I do love driving and I had to drive all the way up to like Robertson and Melrose. So I was quite a ways on La Cienega. I thought, oh my goodness. Anyway, I could not wait to re-enter the bubble. So we're talking about the terror attacks, and as usual, I'm trying to go just beyond the headline of what everybody is talking about. And I think a lot of people are afraid to really get into the grid of this. But one thing I want to do right now, as promised, is I want to touch on this press conference that Hillary had earlier today. Can we play clip number 7, please?
Secondly, we know that Donald Trump's comments have been used online for recruitment of terrorists. We've heard that from former CIA director Michael Hayden, who made it a very clear point when he said Donald Trump is being used as a recruiting sergeant for the terrorists.
This is such poppycock. Okay, and the reason I know it, and I don't have to be a retired CIA director to figure this out, I have a degree of common sense. Now, again, now, first of all, think of who is saying this. This is the person, this is Hillary Benghazi Clinton. This is the same Hillary that wanted us all to believe that Benghazi was the sole result of some stupid video that some stupid guy put online that I think 12 and a half people watched. Like 12 and a half people saw it until Hillary drew attention to it. So this is, and again, she is loath to admit or even say that it is Islamic terror that is caught, that is Islamic, radical Islam that is the motivation behind these terror attacks. Okay? She won't say it. And then she goes on and she says, you know, she's taking cover from people who she views as being relatively moderate because, you know, CIA Director Michael Hayden was, I believe, a Bush appointee who then carried over into Obama's term. But these are insider people. These are the political class that have been telling us the same lies about this for years and years. And by the way, God, yeah, it's not like our CIA doesn't need a very major shakeup. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we haven't figured out, we haven't known before they've happened. And just maybe the guy in charge needs to open his eyes a little bit. So let's play quickly clip number 8 here.
We also know from the former head of our counterterrorism center, Matt Olson, that the kinds of rhetoric and language that Mr. Trump has used is giving aid and comfort to our adversaries.
Whoa! So here, Wobbles is accusing Trump of basically aiding and abetting the enemy of being a treason. What hijinks. All right, Trump responds. More or less, but I'm going to play that for you. Back after this. Sam Murgiowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Murgiowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Hear no jihad, see no jihad. I'll talk about it in a minute here. Sam Murgiowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. But first, I want to remind you that there is one great lawyer out there, Sweet James Bergener. Now, if you get to know him and you call him and maybe you have a case, maybe you or a loved one need some help, maybe a car accident, a truck accident, a serious injury, perhaps a dog bite, a product. Maybe you had one of those Samsung phones blow up on you. There's so many different kinds of cases that James and his team handles. And what you want to make sure is you've got a lawyer that's in your corner, has your back, and that you can trust. James is that guy. How do you get in touch with him? It's pretty easy. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or you can go to sweetjames.com. And remember this, you want to have the kind of lawyer that, you want to find a lawyer that you found, that you trust, and don't have a lawyer find you. You know, make sure it's somebody you know, and James is that guy. So, give him a call, 1-800-881-2021. All right, back now talking about these recent events in Minnesota, New Jersey, and New York. Dare we call them terrorist attacks? Yes, we will. And we just played some clips where Wobbles, Hillary Clinton, was accusing Donald Trump for being the fomenting terror attacks and being the a recruiter in chief. Well, recruiting sergeant. That's right. Such absolute nonsense. Because again, and I talked about it a little bit earlier in the program here about what understanding what makes these guys tick. I use my words carefully. All right. It's not Donald Trump. Islam, when practiced in an, and I've called it before, I've called it Orthodox Islam. And people say radical Islam. I've called it Orthodox Islam because true Muslim orthodoxy takes a supremacist view. Now, of course, if you talk to any Democrat, supremacists are bad. You know, when they're white supremacists, oh, they're terrible. Of course they are. But when have you ever heard a Democrat say an Islamic supremacist? And I haven't. But what does it mean? It means Islam's here and everybody else is second tier. And that is when practiced, when followed strictly, and you read the Quran, it does tout that. And it touts submission, right? Because Islam actually literally means submission. And so you submit. And it's not just religious law. It's civic and temporal law. And that's what, you know, everybody talks about Sharia. It's like this word out there that everybody uses. You hear it probably all the time. You don't realize that what it really is. It isn't like anything else in any other religion, any mainstream religion at least. These are complex rules that govern every aspect of life. And they go beyond merely, you know, setting the rules of how to practice a religion and how to be a better person and that kind of thing. It has very little to do with that. And so you got to understand where all this comes from. And let's look at this is when Trump is talking about the vetting. Here's what he's talking about. Play clip number. Let's do clip number 11, please. 17.
Yet the president of the United States or my opponent and both won't even say the words radical Islamic terror. In fact, Hillary Clinton talks tougher about my supporters than she does about Islamic terrorists, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're in the basket of deplorables. You've got David Duke and all the white supremacists, right? But at no point is Hillary willing to condemn or Obama or anybody else from the establishment. And heck, this is true for Republicans, too. The Republicans are just as bad on this front. So what's going on is everybody's too scared of their own shadow. They can't call a spade a spade. And in consequence, we are basically right back to where we were before September 11th. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Gosh. Almost 8 o'clock. Where's time going? We have too much fun here. But you know, we're talking about serious stuff, stuff that matters and stuff that has to be talked about. And I always say this, in order to have a healthy, thriving democracy, an open society, you can't be afraid to talk about anything. I have kids. It's like being a parent. Hey, tell me, is it a good idea to have the kind of, to not talk to your kids about certain things? Isn't that what everybody says? Is the parents that talk to their kids and foster open communication are the kind of parents that succeed at parenting and have successful, hopefully, you know, successful and healthy kids. I mean, it's the number one thing that everybody tells you. They say, talk to your children. All right. So why aren't we talking to each other? And I'm telling you, one of the number one reasons we don't talk to each other is because we're afraid of being called racists. We're afraid of being called sexists. We're afraid of being called homophobes. We're afraid of being called Islamophobes. Heck, have I gotten through the basket of deplorables yet? See how this stuff all comes together? See how it all links up? See, one thing leads to the next, and I told you right before the break that it's you know, September 11th is a classic example of it. You know, leading up to it, you had a bunch of, you know, guys from Saudi Arabia, you know, with, you know, thick Middle Eastern accents, and they all looked like, can I say it? They looked like terrorists. They were at a, you know, at a flight school going, you know, gee, we don't really want to learn how to land the plane. We don't want to learn how to take off. We just want to know how to fly straight, turn, you know, and make some altitudinal adjustments. Suspicious? A little bit? Yeah. But every person, right down to the poor guy who checked in some of the hijackers in Boston, and he was in the news when the anniversary of September 11th rolled around. He, you know, he's guilt-ridden. So years later, he still feels terrible about it. At every person that they interviewed, you know what they all said? They all said, yeah, you know, I felt like I was drawing a conclusion. I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to raise an issue. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be accused of being racist. And that was the subtext. If not, I mean, again, if they didn't come out and actually say it, they said it in so many words. And that is something, this is so important. We can't lose our rational minds as a society just because some guys here at the top or gals, just because Wobbles tells us, you know, that we're deplorable. We're not deplorable. There's a guy right there, and he looks suspicious. And there's a religion, and you know what I find suspicious about it? Look, of course, we all do. We know Muslims that are totally normal, westernized, they're integrated, they love this country, and they're moderate. That's it. But every one of these terrorists, every one of them, guess what religion they're part of? And you've got to, there's a valid argument there. But no, if you pop up CNN.com, you immediately go straight to Timothy McVeigh and all this nonsense because they're so desperate to show other terrorists. You know, it's an interesting thing. And so here is, I'm going to go back to the clips here really quick just to tell you, this is it. Go to clip number 12.
You can't have vetting if you don't look at ideology. And Hillary Clinton refuses to consider an applicant's worldview and thus their likelihood of being recruited into the terror cause at some later date. Which,
yeah, that's it. Can't we look at that? Don't you think that that's good policy when it comes to immigration? We want people in this country who believe in this country and who want to make it better and are not likely to radicalize. And that's sound policy. I don't know how we get there, but I think a beginning is to identify that as something that is an aspirational goal. And you can't say that until you address the problem. And so I'm telling you, this is what we have to do. We have to call it what it is. And maybe then we'll have some sound policy. I always say, you know, policy is downstream of culture. And we've got to get rid of political correctness, get our culture back, and set our country on the straight course. So, I don't know. That's what I think. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.